The scripture reading this morning is from Luke 13, verses 31 to 35. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to him, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." He said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me, 'Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work.' Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day, I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you, and I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'"
Let me say up front that Barbara Brown Taylor, Episcopal priest, writer, teacher, has done some powerful writing on this text. So if you want to reflect, and I'm going to just give her credit up front for some of my thoughts. I like spotting foxes. You know, it's kind of a treat. You're driving around a road, you see one on the side of the road, or you see one trotting across a field, especially if it's a really red fox with in a snowy field. Where we used to live outside Rochester, a couple years, there was some kind of den pretty close because several times we saw a mama and a couple kits down in the back part of our property. It was a treat. And where I live now, when I've walked the dogs in some trees, woods, not far from our house, I've seen paw prints that I suspect are fox. But we have new neighbors who just moved in, whom I really like, and they have chickens. Right now, those chickens are in a shed up close to the house, but they're planning to move the coop they had on their last, where they lived before, as soon as the ground gets firmed up enough, not so muddy and mushy, and they're trying to figure out where to put the coop. And they're worried about foxes and coyotes. They don't want them getting into their chickens. So all of a sudden for me, seeing a fox near my house won't just be this nice little moment with nature. It will be a threat to my neighbor's chickens. Great eggs, too. They gave us a dozen. In most cultures around the world, foxes, along with coyotes and jackals, hold a similar place in the cultural lore. There's a lot of folk tales that talk about foxes. And foxes are always seen as clever, very smart, cunning, but in a sly, sneaky kind of way, right? They're definitely not to be trusted, no matter what they say. A fox is a trickster, a deceiver, someone who might well be out to get you. And though they're not big or strong, foxes are capable of quick and sudden violence. A fox in a hen house is a disaster for the farmer. Jesus called Herod a fox. Some Pharisees came to warn him that Herod was plotting to kill him, and Jesus said, "You go tell that fox for me." Jesus didn't call him a lion or a bear. A lion, particularly, would have been a compliment, right? King David was known as the Lion of Judah. But Jesus is making it very clear Herod is no King David. Jesus called him a fox, sly, sneaky, cunning, capable of violence. This was Herod Antipas, one of the sons of the King Herod who ruled over Palestine at the time of Jesus' birth and ordered the slaughter of the children in Bethlehem. When that King Herod died, the area was divided up, and this son, Herod, managed to manipulate his way into getting authority over Galilee and some of the other northern part of Palestine. He was called a tetrarch, which is a governor over a portion, technically a fourth, of a province in the Roman Empire. He was a puppet ruler under Rome, a collaborator with their imperial occupation, but he did have power, and he used his power to dominate and control and to make himself wealthy. Like his father, he killed many people. He was the one who had John the Baptist arrested and later beheaded for daring to criticize his adulterous relationship with his brother's wife. But when Jesus was warned about Herod's plot to kill him, Jesus wanted everybody, these Pharisees, his disciples, and Herod himself, to know that Jesus's time, Jesus's life, was not in Herod's hands. It wasn't up to Herod to decide what was going to happen to him. Jesus still had work to do. His time had not come quite yet, and he said, "I'm casting out demons, I'm performing cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I will finish my work." When his time came, it would not be up to Herod to decide what was going to happen to him. His life was in God's hands, and his mission was about God's purposes. I wonder what if this way of understanding our living isn't just about Jesus. What if all of us as people of faith could learn something, that ultimately our lives are not in the hands of the Herods of this world. They do not control our final destinies. Our lives rest in God. God holds us. God keeps us. God is our refuge and our strength, the Psalms say again and again. It's not, of course, that God protects us from all the bad that can happen in our lives, but God keeps our deepest selves, our true lives, are held by God no matter what the world may do to us. Jesus knew that. He knew his life and his mission were in the hands of God. And he said, "On the third day, I will finish my work. Today and tomorrow and the next day, I must be on my way, because it's impossible for a prophet to be killed outside Jerusalem." You hear the foreboding of what's coming, and you're looking ahead, even beyond his death, to the third day. In the New Testament, the third day is always a reference to resurrection. Jesus saw what was coming. He knew that his ministry of love and compassion, his preaching of good news among the poor and oppressed, was stirring up the people to hope that God was going to act, that maybe he was really the Messiah. Maybe they were going to be delivered and saved. He knew his work and who he was had put him in direct confrontation with the religious and political forces of his day. And Jerusalem, as the center of political power, but even more of religious power and identity, was where his life would reach its climax. Now let's be careful here. Passages like this have been used to support anti-Semitism. This is about Jerusalem because that's where power rested in that day. But this is not just about Jerusalem. Or to put it another way, this world has always had Jerusalems. There are many Jerusalems, full of people who are caught up in the ways of the fox, people who choose power and manipulation, people who trust in violence and force, people who choose to protect the status quo rather than opening themselves to the redeeming, liberating good news of God. That's what Jerusalem stands for. And if we are honest, there is something of Jerusalem in all of us, in the way Luke is discussing it here. In this passage, we can feel Jesus' heart, his pain, his longing to break through to the people. He was offering them life, peace, salvation, joyful community with God and with each other, but these people were not being able to hear it. They were not responding. They saw him as a threat, as a problem. Any one of us who has ever loved someone and longed to help them but not been able to can feel something of what Jesus was feeling here. O Jerusalem, how often I've desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. It's such a poignant image and such a feminine image that Jesus chooses for himself. A mother hen clucking urgently to gather her chicks together, letting them snuggle under her wings, carefully tucking each one in. She can keep them warm. She can protect them from the rain. But when there's a fox, what can she do? Barbara Brown Taylor says that in a confrontation with the fox, a mother hen has nothing much in the way of a beak and nothing at all in the way of talons. The best she can hope is that she satisfies the fox's appetite so that he leaves her babies alone. And yet, that is the way that Jesus chose. Not the sly cunning of the fox, not the way of deceit or manipulation, not the way of coercion and violence and force. Jesus chose the way of love, self-giving love, sacrificial love. In love, he wept over all those who could not, would not see the truth and the power of love. And he stayed faithful to love, even though it meant its dying. Barbara Brown Taylor goes on to say, in the cosmic battle of all time, in which the power of tooth and fang was put up against the power of a mother's love for her chicks, God bet the farm on the hen. It always makes me cry. God bet the farm on the hen. Having loved her own who were in the world, she loved them to the end. So Jesus died, a mother hen, and afterwards came back to them with teeth marks on her body to make sure they got the point. That the power of foxes could not kill her love for them, nor could it steal them away from her. We might have to go through what the hen went through in order to get past the foxes. But she will be waiting for us on the other side with love that is stronger than death. Love wins. That is our faith. That is what we hold on to even through the most difficult of days we live through. No matter what is happening, no matter how much the foxes are running amok in our world. Foxes of violence and war, foxes of deceit and lies, foxes of anger and division and distrust, and yes, foxes of fear. Those little foxes that prey on our minds and keep us up in the lonely dark hours in the middle of the night. Whatever those foxes are doing, we can stand with Jesus and say, go tell those foxes that today and tomorrow and the next day, we're going to keep doing what God calls us to do. We're going to stay true to our purpose. We're going to keep loving God and loving our neighbors, loving and welcoming people, bringing healing and hope, doing what we can to lift up and encourage, caring for this good earth God has given us. The foxes of this world do not run our lives. Our today and our tomorrow are in God's hands. God alone has the final say. In life, in death, in life beyond death, we will not be afraid. We trust in God. We abide in God's love, and we can rest in peace in the shelter of our mother hen's wings. knowing she has already given her life for us, and on the third day came back to us with the love that is stronger than any evil, the love that is stronger than death. Amen.